You're listening to the Restaurant Operator Podcast.
Get the latest restaurant industry headlines delivered to your inbox every weekday with Restaurant Operator Daily. With this one newsletter, you'll get the top stories from leading news sites like fastcasual.com, pizzamarketplace.com, and qsrweb.com. Join more than 30,000 subscribers who rely on Restaurant Operator Daily to keep them informed on the most important industry news and trends. Subscribe today at restaurantoperatordaily.com.
Welcome to the Restaurant Operator Podcast, coming to you live from the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit in Kansas City. I'm Mandy Detweiler, Managing Editor of NetWorld Media Group and the Editor of QSR Web and Pizza Marketplace. I'm here today with Darden Kors, CEO with Salad Collective. Thanks so much for being with me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what brought you to the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit? What were you looking for?
I've been before and always enjoyed it. It's great connections, looking at, you know, the vendors that sponsor and then industry sort of insights. So from other, you know, executives and team members from around the industry, there's always some good insight and good takeaways.
Good. So what are some of the things you've learned at the show?
Oh, I had a lot of fun listening in on everyone's sessions. I think we opened with TikTok and learning that the 25 to 44-year-olds were in the fastest-growing segment.
Right.
Was interesting, probably makes sense. That's, you know, certainly a group of people we want to reach. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Darden, tell us a little bit about Salad Collective and Mad Greens. Tell us all about your company.
Salad Collective is a fun, fast-casual concept or sort of umbrella company for three brands. We have Mad Greens, which is a brand we're starting to franchise, and it's a healthy salad, fast casual, kind of aimed for your healthy, active lifestyle. And then we have Snappy Salads, which is more of a sophisticated salad concept, primarily in the Dallas market. And then we recently acquired Tokyo Joe's, which is a fast casual, healthy Asian concept with teriyaki bowls, poke, sushi, and a little bit of fun little edge to them.
Okay, so you're just starting to, you said you're just starting to franchise Mad Greens?
We are, yes.
Okay, how's that been?
It's been fun, it's been a challenge, though. You know, it's trying to find that first right franchisee is, we're being picky and we're being methodical and with, you know, some headwinds, I think, against franchising right now with interest rates and real estate, all of that. So we're making progress. We don't quite have one to announce yet, but hopefully very soon.
So if you had a piece of advice for someone thinking about franchising their own business or going into franchising, what would you tell them?
I think you have to be really sure of your concept before you franchise out.
Okay.
So I know it's exciting, but it's a whole different business model to franchise. So understanding that you're no longer going to be operating your restaurants, it's a whole different business segment to get into franchising of your concept. So understand that and being able to roll it out into sort of more of a sales organization, more of a marketing organization, understanding that it's a different business model when you start franchising.
Well, that'll do it with us with Darden Kors. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it was great. Pleasure. Thanks for the conference.
I'm here now with Lavelle Holloway, General Manager of the Kansas City International Airport Concessions, Vantage Airport Group. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about the concessions at the airport.
You know, it's an amazing experience to be a part of this transformational new airport that we call Kansas City International Airport. This program is 80% local, so we really worked very, very closely to curate a local, authentic program. Because one of the things when the Kansas City Aviation Department was going around doing outreach programs around the city, the thing that really resonated with them and also with the passengers of our community was they really wanted to feel like they were home when they came to our airport. So Vantage being the lead developer on the project, and we have done over 30 airports and different venues across the world throughout our history, we were really excited about being a part of the Kansas City International Airport, not only for the growth, but the warmth that we receive from the beautiful community that's here, which I've been here since 1999.
I did notice some pretty good restaurants in that airport when I was walking through.
Yes, we have a lot of fabulous restaurants, and that's headed off by one of our prime operators. They're outstanding hospitality group. They're OHM, and they also work in partnership with MRG or WH Smith for the retail side of it. So not only do we have OHM is out of St. Louis, and then they partner with a lot of the local restaurants, similar like Brown and Lowe, Bowling's, and others, to really bring the concessions program to light, and even Parisi. So they've done a huge job, and I take my hat off to them, because they really did a great job with the barbecue experience and with a once-a-year program that allows local pit masters to be in the airport, which is really, really cool. So I'm excited about my partnership that I have with them, WH Smith. And then also we got some cool national brands that are operated by local franchisees. So, for example, Smoothie King is a national brand, but it's operated by the Spinneys in the airport. And then we also have Auntie Anne's and Cinnabon, and that is operated by the Trips. And so they're out of St. Joe. So it's really, really cool to have not only the big name, the smaller names being presented or in our airport, but also the larger names that are out there that are franchise organizations that are a part of the airport space as well.
Well, what brought you to the Restaurant Franchising Innovation Summit this year?
I wanted to learn more. So I'm a continuous lifelong learner. And what I've been passionate about is restaurants since I was 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
So what's key to me and what really excited me about this particular event is the innovation piece of it, right? When we talk about digital, how do we merge that? How do we continue to advance this industry that we call restaurants? So that's what really I'm passionate about, is how do we continue to advance it?
What's something you learned at the show this year?
What I love about going to these shows is really the connected piece of it. You know, the team that puts it on, Shara and team, they do a great job of creating a family environment. So what I really love about it is just the camaraderie, everyone learning from each other, getting to understand what the different roles are and how we can work with each other throughout the industry. So the camaraderie, the family feel of it is what I really love about it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I've been to several of our shows, and that's part of it, is just how small they feel.
Yes.
It's not overwhelming.
No.
So if you had a piece of advice for a brand that is maybe thinking of entering their own airport, or, you know, not just the Kansas City airport, but their own local airport, what would you tell them? How do they start? How do they get their start?
Well, the first thing is I tell them is to do their due diligence, right? Understand the companies in the airport municipality that they're working with. So often the excitement around getting into the airport is overwhelming, right? You want your brand to be seen by millions of passengers per year and have that tremendous opportunity. But really, it's about doing your due diligence, understanding who your partners are going to be, and then looking at the details around the contract is the advice that I would tell anyone. Do your due diligence.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm very fortunate to be here.
I'm here with Karen Stutz with Hawaiian Bros out of Kansas City. Tell us all about Hawaiian Bros.
You know, I'm fortunate enough to be one of their board members. I've been on the board since October, but first I was a fan. And I've been in the restaurant business for 50 years. And it's so incredible when you walk into a concept, you're like, oh my God, they got it right. And I think over time, those of us who've been in the industry for a long time, you can walk into a restaurant, and you go, is the menu right? Is the ambiance right? Are the uniforms right? You know, you can tell when a restaurant is well put together. So the first thing that attracts you is just this beautiful restaurant, that, you know, is so attractive. You see, you know, the technology up front, simple to use, and a simple menu. I mean, you really have 6, 7, or 8, you know, Hawaiian lunch plate dishes to choose from.
Okay.
The food is hot, fresh, super fast. I just found myself going back, one, because the food was great, but two, even if I'm thinking, okay, I got to drive 10 minutes to get there, it will still be faster than some of the drive-throughs or other places that I can go, even adding on the time, but they're so quick. But yeah, I love this concept of a Hawaiian lunch plate. It's typically, you know, a bit of rice with some awesome flavored chicken and macaroni salad. It's really unique and delicious, so let's go try it together.
I'm going to say, it sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what brought you to the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit this year?
Well, you know, first of all, we're all fans of Shara, and we know that anything that Shara puts on is typically going to be top notch. And I think she's got this unique ability to get the right people in the room, right? And so that's what I'm always looking for, first of all, is who am I going to be able to connect with, one, and who am I, what am I going to learn? Right. So those are the things that I look at. I love the fact that this one always has a trade show. It's probably not everyone's favorite, but it should be in some ways. And I know they spend a lot of money sponsoring these companies. But if you don't go by each one of the vendors and learn about their products, shame on you. I feel like I keep my skills up because
right.
I get to go to all these different companies and say, okay, well, I already know these four loyalty programs. What's different about yours? Or, you know, there's a lot of company out. The one thing I'm looking at is data. And I think as restaurant operators, we get so much data. And it's what do I do with it all? And, you know, we kind of know the basics of loyalty programs, you know, whether it's, you know, just I can, you know, put my people in, you know, my guests in three different buckets and try to figure out the best way to talk to them. But there's got to be so much more. And so I'm always looking for that company that really uncovers mining the data, but also can tell a restaurant operator how to put it to work.
So what's something you learned this year?
Oh, my gosh. I learned quite a bit. You know, there was, I guess, one of the companies that, you know, that we're talking about, what differentiated a little bit. Was kind of a loyalty program. You know, they and it's similar to another loyalty program where they get all the consumer data from the receipt or from, you know, from payment. And so that way it's one-stop shopping. The guests can come up and order. The server no longer say, are you a member of our loyalty program? Those kind of things are automatic. But it's also doing some additional work with data and data mining. So still, I'm waiting for that perfect solution to get to the other side. But I'm starting to see people in the different booths down there that are really focusing on what the operators need. So that's a big win.
So Hawaiian Bros franchises, correct?
Sure does.
So what would you tell someone, you know, a brand that was considering franchising for the first time?
Yeah.
What would you tell them? How do they start? How do they do this?
You know, I get this question all the time. And to be honest, one time I was going to be a franchisee. My husband and I had done a deal. We were going to do five Wendy's way back when I had just gotten started. Anyway, a couple of things that happened. They needed, just to be honest, more women, you know, in the seats. And I was pretty much the only one, as they asked me if I could put that on hold as they were trying to build a more diverse team. And then I continued to move up the ladder and then I never did the franchise deal, but I love franchising. Number one, you have to think about them as they own the brand in a sense, because we executives can come and go, but that franchisee is making a lifetime commitment. So that's the first thing I always tell a franchisee or a prospective franchisee. Are you really looking to make a lifetime commitment, right? Okay. And is this something that you truly want to do, that you're going to be in there working the business every single day and love it? Because the restaurant business looks a lot easier on the other side of the counter.
It does.
Right?
Right.
So that's one of the things that I always talk about is really just making sure that you want to do it. And don't do something because you're building it for your you know, the next generation of your family. More likely, they've seen how hard you work and they don't want to do it. Right? So that's another thing. I think also having a lot of working capital, I think people underestimate how much money that you need, you know, just meeting payroll, inventory, all of the different, you know, all the technology, how much it's really changing right now. So, you know, I think those are some of the first things that I look at. But number one is, you know, do you have a great operator? Are you willing to be an operator? Because at the end of the day, one of the messages I think we heard from every stage where we were here, no matter how good you think you are, if that guest is not having a good experience, you are not going to win long term. And, you know, we heard again that guest focus was really prevalent throughout the day. But I think those are a couple of things. And then also you just invest in a brand that you love to eat in, right? So something that you love and you're passionate about. I think that's really important. The last thing, and I'm probably going on way too long for you, but I would just simply say is really do the math. You know, restaurant math is kind of 60-20-20, right? 60% prime costs, food, paper, labor, 20% to cover utilities, your occupancy costs, and there better be 20% left over as you look at that model. And there's not a lot of restaurant concepts that are delivering that right now. Hawaiian Bros is a great example of a company that's doing that. It has 20% restaurant operating margins, which makes it incredibly attractive for a franchisee.
Thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for including me, and thank you all for running such a fantastic conference.
Awesome. I'm back now with Zach Oates, CEO and founder of Ovation, a guest feedback platform. Zach, tell us a little bit about Ovation.
Yeah, so Ovation is an operations and guest recovery platform for multi-unit restaurants. We start with a two-question survey, and then we deliver AI-powered actionable feedback, five-star reviews, real-time guest recovery. It's the anti-survey survey. If you want to know what's going on in your restaurants but don't want to harass your guests with 50 questions, that's where Ovation comes in.
Awesome. Awesome. So how was the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit? You guys come and you sponsor every year. You're a big part of our show. Tell us how the show was this year for you.
It was awesome. We had such a good time, both the team, as well as it was great to connect with a lot of our customers. We met so many industry leaders. We got more people on the podcast. We're already driving through. We already got a couple of pilots signed from the show. So it was very successful for us. And it was just, I love being at your shows because they're so fun. A lot of shows you can get together and be with a lot of industry leaders, but you guys really put an emphasis on making sure that it's a good time as well. And not losing anything from the content. You know, like with our session, I know I had someone come up to me and say, you know, that was a lot of fun and you guys did something like pretty cool and it was interesting, and CJ and Sam are just like great humans. He goes, but I got to tell you, the content itself was really good too. He's like, it's cool that you can do that at a show like this.
What's one thing you learned at this year's event? Because that's what we want people to do. Even our sponsors, we want them to come and to learn something new at every show.
I loved hearing Beto, the CEO of Blaze. I loved hearing what Beto was saying when it came to the different channels. And it's so important that we emphasize every channel that a guest has to interact with us, that we make sure that that is an amazing experience for that guest. I thought Beto did such a good job of explaining the importance of different channels for revenue and the importance of focusing on that for the guest experience.
Well, I got one more question for you. If you had a piece of advice for someone who was thinking about attending one of our shows but wasn't quite sure that it's for them, what would you tell them?
It is, you know, I go to a lot of shows. I go to probably... last year, I think I went to 27 shows.
Wow.
This is one of my absolute favorites because it is intimate enough that you can connect with people one-on-one, but it's big enough that you can meet a lot of new people. And like I said, the element of fun that's here at your shows is something that doesn't really happen at other shows. And you guys just really kick it up a notch and allow for that that fun connection, which is so important.
Thanks so much for being with us. This has been awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Now with John Bailey, owner of Longboards Wraps and Bowls out of Kansas City. Thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the company.
Yeah, so we are Longboards Wraps and Bowls, and we have been in business since 2004. And the company, the restaurant, was started by my partner, Gilbert Macapagal. And so Gilbert is a Filipino guy who has lived all over the West Coast, and he's a chef. And he has worked at a bunch of amazing places in Kansas City, high-end, fine dining type places. He did that for a very long time and realized that that wasn't the world he wanted to be in. And so he turned all these ideas he had into a fast casual idea. So we make grilled burritos. And the grilled burritos are crispy and warm on the inside, and they're so good. And
I skipped breakfast and now.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. So he started the first one up north of the river in Kansas City, Missouri in 2004, and did that with, you know, friends and family, but basically as a single owner for 7 years. And 7 years later, he wanted to grow. He and I had been friends since 1993, and I went a different path in life. I went a corporate path, MBA, college, business degree, that kind of thing. And so I knew how to grow and I knew how to scale. And so in 2011, we incorporated. 2012, we opened up the second location together. And then since then we've opened up a location, I think about every year and a half or 2 years. You know, the pandemic slowed things down a little bit.
Sure.
But other than that, we've just progressed to where we are now and seven locations in and basically dotted around the Kansas City metro.
Okay. Well, what brought you to the Restaurant Franchising and Innovation Summit other than it's here, right here in Kansas City?
Yeah, that was super convenient. We couldn't say no to that. For us, so, you know, as I look at some of the other people that are here, and some of them are really big and they're really far into this, and some of them did it, got really big really fast, and that one amazes me and perplexes me, but they're smart people and they're figuring it out, and that's fantastic. And so I look at it, and we've grown very deliberately and somewhat slowly. And so we've got this belief that we open one and we reinforce, and then we start pursuing the next one, and we kind of slowly pursue and feel it out and make sure it's good and make sure our existing ones are all in good shape. And that's been a deliberate approach. But over the years, that deliberate approach has also allowed us to get better at what we do.
Right.
So the reinforcement after the second store took us a while. And then the reinforcement after the third store took a little less time. And so we're getting to a point where we can get these things reinforced pretty quickly. And so that's allowing us to move forward a little more quickly. And so so we're looking at Kansas City and going, we feel like we've got a pretty good number of stores here, and this is our hometown and we love it here. And it's been nothing but wonderful and great the whole time. But we ask ourselves, you know, could we do this outside of Kansas City? Is it possible? And so when we come here to an event like this and we see these people who have done it much more quickly than us, you know, I don't think I would ever say we've questioned our approach, because we're completely happy with who we are and where we are and everything else. But we also look at it and go, well, is there some sort of inspiration that these people that are presenting and having conversations, are there approaches that they've taken that are different from approaches that we've taken that we could potentially do ourselves? So we're kind of on the cusp of, I guess, figuring out what direction we want to go in the future. And we're kind of open to all pathways and all doors, but looking at franchising is one of the pathways that's possible.
So what's something you've learned at the show while you've been here?
Well, I just came from a couple things. Just came from a marketing session, which is talking about marketing strategy. And there's a big company on stage, and obviously they have big budget and they're doing a lot of really cool big things, but they can hire a lot of people to do big things. And so then there was kind of a middle-sized company, and which is still much bigger than us. And but you know, the things that I hear from him are a little more familiar. And then there was a small company, and they've got their foot on the gas, and they're one of those companies that's, it's impressive what they're doing so fast. And so I can relate to that one and go, okay, if they can do taking their loyalty program, extracting their data, and turning it into a lookalike audience inside of Facebook or Meta, social media in general, and market to that lookalike audience, and it's an instant fit because it's already people that are in your loyalty program, we could do that, you know, and we don't do that.
Right.
And we should do that.
Right.
So that's
absolutely
a great lesson.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was someone yesterday that was talking about their call-in orders, and they were amazed that they're still, I think his business was 10% call-in or something like that. He had thought in his mind that call-ins would probably, you know, go the way of the dinosaur and just disappear altogether. But it was a still high percentage. And so he had a way of looking at his stores. And I think he said, like, you know, four of his stores were 10% and one of them was 2%. So why is the one 2%? Are they so busy? Do they not have enough people? Are they just taking the phone and burying it in the back somewhere? So it was interesting for me to, because we don't measure that either, but we had the ability to do it. We have to rearrange a few things. So that was a good lesson. And then the third one, I was able to talk to Dustin Portillo yesterday for quite a while. And
right.
Dustin was the keynote, and he's got an interesting story. He's got the Ringling Brothers background and the Ronald McDonald background and the food background. And his perspective is, you know, he says, don't be an idiot. And that it's an acronym that stands for something. But fundamentally, underneath that, there's kind of this don't take yourself too seriously. Like, relax. You know, you're just a human, and humans can only do so much.
Right.
And so that's a good message to be able to come back to, because sometimes you get so caught up in all the problems.
Yeah.
And you go, it's okay if you don't get all the answers to all the problems. It's don't take yourself so seriously. Okay. So I appreciated that perspective from him.
Well, thank you so much for being
Absolutely.
With us. Yeah, that'll do it for this episode of the Restaurant Operator Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Get the latest restaurant industry headlines delivered to your inbox every weekday with Restaurant Operator Daily. With this one newsletter, you'll get the top stories from leading news sites like fastcasual.com, pizzamarketplace.com, and qsrweb.com. Join more than 30,000 subscribers who rely on Restaurant Operator Daily to keep them informed on the most important industry news and trends. Subscribe today at restaurantoperatordaily.com.